as I was chatting with this extraordinary young man off the air, we were fortunate to talk to his father. I think one of the first books that we got to talk about was The Bonus Army, and we've done others. But today's book, he and his father's name is Thomas B. Allen, and this is Roger McBride Allen, Mr. Lincoln's High-Tech War, How the North Used the Telegraph, Railroads, Surveillance, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and much, much more. Good morning there, young fellow. How you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Why don't you give us the full title of this extraordinary book, and then give me a brief synopsis.
Well, Mr. Lincoln's, you almost caught me out there. Mr. Lincoln's High-Tech War, How the North Used the Telegraph, Railroads, Surveillance Balloons, Ironclads, High-Powered Weapons, and More to Win the Civil War. Basically, the approach of the book is to look at how the American Civil War was the first war in which technology really played a part, in which is one example of this. This is a little facetious, but pretty close. This is the first war in which the soldiers didn't have to walk to the battlefield. Certainly, there was a lot of marching. A lot of guys had to walk a long way. But in many respects, the soldiers could ride the trains to where they were going, and this was made a tremendous difference. You could get troops and move them hundreds of miles, put all their equipment on the train, get them within a few miles of the battlefield, and then start them walking, which simply meant you could equip the army much better, and you could move them much more rapidly, and that made a tremendous difference.
Since we're on radio and a person is not able to see the visual of this important book, tell me a couple of things about it. Is this for a specific age group? And tell me about the relationship you have with the National Geographic Society, which is very important.
Well, the book is officially aimed at younger readers, but I've got to say that we've discovered that we seem to have written a book for grown-ups, too, that a lot of adults have sat down and read this through and said this works at both levels very well. My father worked for the National Geographic for many years in their book service, and I remember being a kid, 9, 10 years old, going into Daddy's office at the National Geographic Society. He later went freelance, and he's written many books for them over the years. And in many respects, this is a follow-on to other books he's done for kids with them, most recently George Washington's Spymaster. And they wanted another book, and he and I came up with this idea.
This is not the first book on the subject of Lincoln and the High-Tech War. What makes your book so unique and special as it relates to this subject?
Well, you know, as we were writing it, we discovered in many respects it was the first one to really take a look at this angle of the war, of how technology was a driving factor for strategy, for how Lincoln made decisions, and really looked at Lincoln as someone who was a champion of technological advance. He's the first president who had a patent, the only president who's had a patent. He was, in his peacetime career before the war, a very big supporter of what was called the American system, which was an old political party, the Whigs, were very in favor of internal improvements and believing that putting in new railroads, new improved roads, improved harbors, and so forth, would greatly improve the national economy. And so that was a thread that really went through his career even before the war started.
Now, for me, one of the things that make your book so special and so unique is things, say, for example, on page number 9, you have the situation report, which is, to me, gave me a very, very good overview. Things like on page number 19, Maryland by Maryland. On page number 19, tell me about that, Maryland by Maryland, and those types of sidebars, I call them, that are in your book.
Yeah, those are sidebars. Very simply, those are things that we felt would be of interest to the reader or would illuminate something in the main story, but weren't actually directly part of the main thread of the narrative. The Maryland by Maryland one, it's been well known for many years, of course, that's a pretty crazy song. That's a state song of Maryland, and it's the official state song of Maryland, approved by the Maryland legislature in 1939, and it calls for Maryland to secede from the Union and for the violent attack on the federal government, and calls Lincoln a vandal, calls Lincoln a tyrant, and calls him some rather unpleasant names, refers to Union soldiers as Northern scum, and yet it's the Maryland song. I live in Maryland. This is an embarrassment. We have a website for the book, and one of the things on it is a little page urging people to change Maryland's song.
Now, another thing for me that makes your book unique is the fact, again, sticking with the sidebar since we're on that road here, is things like on page number 41 that deal with the technical aspect, like the lifting gas, and on page 48, the torpedoes. Why was it important to not only talk about the technology, but explain it as it relates to the technology in that day?
Well, in large part because in that day, all of these things were very, very new. One of the things that happened during the Civil War were there were very few major inventions that were specifically designed for use in the war, that were invented during the war, that actually came into major use during the war. A lot of the things that were invented were just about getting ready, were just about ready to be deployed when the war ended. They weren't quite there. It took a long time. The technology they used that was stuff that was either things that could be rapidly adapted or that could be, that was off the shelf from the civilian times, the most important being the railroad and the telegraph. But no one had ever been able to make a use of that in a large-scale way in a war before. And that was really the thing that took everybody by surprise, that how much of an effect these things would have on it, including simply improved rifles, which had a devastating effect. And the rifles they had at that time were far too powerful to be used with the tactics they were using, and that meant a lot of people got killed because they didn't know the difference between the guns they used to be using and the ones they were using then.
We're talking to Roger Allen. The name of the book is called Lincoln's High-Tech War. Let's look at another aspect. On page 101, I love this photograph, and it was very interesting to talk about this cannon that was not used in war. That was one aspect, but I also love the fact that there were persons standing on the other side of this photograph, so it helped me to understand scale in, I guess, in real terms, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that was that's one of the adventures in writing a book, is trying to boil down a long, involved story to a photo caption, sometimes in one or two lines. The gentleman in that photo with the top hat on was the man who built that cannon, and he just took too long to do it, and in modern times he would say he had behind schedule and had cost overruns, and he was always going to make it better and better. It was going to be new and improved, and it would be easier to manufacture, and it took forever to do it. By the time they were ready, the war was over, and it never did see use.
Well, we appreciate the contribution that you and your father has done to educate us. Also, I noticed there are some other books that were done by you guys from the National Geographic. If a person wants to get this book and other books, give us that information.
Well, if you go to the book's website, which is MrLincolnsHighTechWar.com or HighTechCivilWar.com, either will take you to the same place, and there's information on how to buy the book there, and practically a whole nother book's worth of information on that webpage. There was a tremendous amount we just couldn't shoehorn into this volume, and a lot of that material is on that webpage.